It is interesting, as I just prayed, today's message is going to be about freedom, and as God does in His unique way, there is an order to the services that we plan, that the theme that we like to try to weave through, and then there are times where God just does His thing. So before the service, we're over here, and Trent is praying, and may have even, I don't know, I meant to ask you if he had even looked at the message of today, but he prayed in his prayer before the service for that we would know the freedom that we have as believers. And then as we're singing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, verse 4, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free, that we would sing that. And we sang, my chains are gone. I've been set free. As we were singing during our time of praise and worship, it is God's Word today that will tell us how we ought to do that on a daily basis, how we should not be falling into the temptation that many of us may find ourselves in, not living in the freedom that we do have in Jesus Christ. So if you will, please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. It's a privilege we have, a great day to enjoy the privilege of looking at the Word of God together, and I hope and pray that we would never take that for granted. The reality that we have the privilege of reading and of studying the Word of the Almighty God. His Word should dominate our thoughts, and it should dominate the meditations of our hearts. It most definitely should dominate our feelings and emotions. It sometimes can mislead us away from what God's Word tells us we ought to do. I was sharing this week with a friend that I consider it an honor of bringing the Word of God to you. It's the highest honor that I have in serving you as your pastor, is to take God's Word, something that we have elevated to a rightful place that has supreme authority over our lives, and to be able to use that and share that with you. And although the weight of that responsibility at times gives me a second of pause, and every time gives me a second of breathing in and the butterflies that come with that, it's because of the reality of the weight of God's Word in our lives and how I desire to rightly divide God's Word. Today's message comes, again, we're talking about freedom, and some of us might think, well, that would be a message that would be good maybe during the 4th of July when we're talking about freedom, and that's kind of the theme that goes along in our country at that time. But I believe today is the best day that we can see where God's freedom that He gives us goes so far beyond, as we'll see in just a moment, the freedom that we can have in our country, politically or otherwise. So we're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read the first 6 verses here together, and then look at these and see what they're speaking to us. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. This is a beautiful section of the book of Galatians. It's kind of the crux, really, about what this book is all about, but it declares in a bold way that the good news of accepting Jesus Christ is that of freedom. It is not what many people think when they think of following Christ. Well, you got to follow all this list of rules, of the things you should do, the things you shouldn't do. No, this is freedom that Jesus gives us in two ways. Freedom from sin, and again, the law that can be a burden to us, but also freedom from death. Something that we don't have to fear any longer if we're following Jesus. It is the greatest of all freedoms, as I just alluded to. It's greater than political freedom. It's greater than some emotional freedom that we may feel from time to time. It's greater than what our country declared back in the 60s as the sexual revolution, the sexual freedom that people experienced then. These are things that we think of as freedom, but really become bounds of sin and chains of slavery in our lives. But freedom in Christ is the greatest of all freedoms. One of the books that I read and really enjoyed was called The Scottish Chiefs by a lady named Jane Porter. It was written in the early 1800s. It's about the battle in Scotland for freedom from the tyrants, the English at that time, who dominated Scotland. They made a movie about this called Braveheart, which features a main character, William Wallace. And at one point during this movie, it's one of my favorites, and I came out of there just seeing some spiritual analogies. I came out of the theater, and you know, I had to go to the restroom, and so I'm in there and just was, my brain was just running. I turned to the guy and I'm like, man, do you understand that the fact that we can have freedom and you know, in Christ we can have freedom like this? This guy probably thought, what is wrong with you, man? You're supposed to stay silent when you come in here. Take care of what you need to take care of and get out, right? And I was just rolling with it. But at one point in time, there's this battlefield that is set up between the English and the Scottish army. And the nobles from Scotland are going out to broker a treaty that will benefit the nobles, but will cause the rest of the people to continue to live under oppression and to suffer. And so William Wallace comes and he is there and he's asking this question as this army, you know, is beginning to kind of disintegrate because they've seen this before. The nobles get what they want out of it and the people suffer. And so he rolls up and I just want to read to you this exchange that takes place between him and some of the soldiers. So he addresses them and says, if this is your armor, army, why does it go? Why are people leaving if this is your army that you're fighting with here? This veteran that's sitting there says, we didn't come to fight for them, referring to the nobles. We're not here so that they can get more things. This other guy says, you know, this, where does it go? It's going home. The English are too many for us. And William Wallace says, sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace. And the young soldier says, William Wallace is 7 feet tall. You know, they had all these stories being told about how great this man was. He says, yes, I've heard, and he's killed men by the hundreds, and if he were here, he'd consume, you know, the English with fireballs from his eyes, and you know, he goes on and describes this, and he says, I am William Wallace. I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight? And a veteran again speaks up, fight? Against that? The English army? No, we will run, and we will live. And this is the classic response that he gives in this movie. He says, yes, fight, and you may die. Run and you'll live, at least for a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom? And as I say that, he's yelling this. He's declaring this over this army. And suddenly you see this internal change of these soldiers who recognize the importance of freedom. Even over life itself. Their lives. The lives of their children. And I want us to see that parallel today, that Jesus Christ came so that we can have true freedom, not freedom from some tyrannical other country that's ruling over us, but freedom for eternity. Freedom from, again, as I said, sin. Freedom from what binds so many of our family and friends, as we can look from the outside at their lives and just think, I just want you to be delivered. I want you to be free from this. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So, it is freedom that is greater than any other freedom that we can experience in life. It's the freedom that only Christ can give. And what are we commanded to do by God and through Paul here as he writes, for freedom Christ has set us free. He declares this. Like that shout from William Wallace, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then what is the next command? It is to stand firm. To stand firm in that truth. To not waver and think, wait a minute, well I know, okay, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free, but, and then we begin to introduce some other idea into what God has declared. That we ought to be free. We ought to be free. Again, not just politically. In fact, there are many believers in the world that are not politically free to exercise their faith. But they have freedom in Christ, as God declares it here in Galatians 5:1. So we are commanded to stand firm. This is a common theme, not just in the command that Paul gives here, because he knows our tendency, God does, to begin to waver, but it's a common theme that God has in Ephesians chapter 6, where again, speaking of kind of that medieval battle element of things, God describes medieval armor that we have in Ephesians chapter 6. But he explains that, and he reiterates a common theme, as you see through this description, of who we are to be in Christ. Ephesians 6 starts off in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Telling us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And he repeats this, stand firm in this passage. To withstand the attacks of the enemy. This is something that God desires us to do as believers, is to stand firm. We're commanded to do it. At times it's not easy to do it. But it's a whole lot easier when we're not trying to stand alone. God gives us one another, brothers and sisters, that we can stand firm together, shoulder to shoulder, as we battle against who our enemy truly is. It's not people. Ephesians 6 makes it clear that that's not who we're wrestling against. It's not flesh and blood. This is a spiritual war that's taking place. Spiritual battles that we experience. What happens if we don't stand firm, as God commands us to do here? Well, then we give up ground and we end up falling away from grace. Paul goes on to explain that here. Once again, the false teaching that had infiltrated the Galatians was that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. You had to follow the Jewish law as a means of completing your salvation. And Paul is telling them in verse 4 that if you do that, you've severed yourself from Christ. If you're trying to be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace, the gift that God has given to us, the amazing grace that we sing so often about. What ground can we give up? The only ground that we can really give up is when we begin to introduce that there's something else that we can do to save ourselves. Something else that we can, you know, come up with in our own, again, whether it's the Jewish law or our own making, that takes the freedom that we have in Christ away from us and begins to burden us then. First point in the giving up of the ground and the falling away from grace is that when we do this, we absolutely deny the power of the cross. We deny the fact that what Jesus did was enough. And again, we're going to be looking at that this morning as we remember in communion the death, the suffering of Jesus. But when we begin to introduce that, we step away from that position of freedom in Christ, we are denying that what He did was enough for me today. We may not think of it, of course, in my whole life, I'm not denying that what Jesus did was enough to save me. But when we begin to introduce in our lives, yeah, but I need to do this and I need to do something else. I need to trust Christ and I need to, as we talked about last week, the teaching of our neighbors across the street here, that it's when you have done all you can, then you're saved by grace through faith. Or actually, I didn't mention through faith. By grace you are saved when you've done all that you can, is what they teach. And so when we begin to do that, we deny the power of the cross. We've taken away the absolutely incredible reality of the sacrifice of God the Son on our behalf. We cannot do this. How can we make this kind of exchange? That's what Paul is asking himself as he has grown to love these believers in Galatia. He's asking, how can you exchange the freedom that God has given to you in Christ with something else, anything else? We cannot do that. When we do that, we burden ourselves and we burden other people. We burden ourselves because we have now changed the relationship between us and God from an Abba Father, as we talked about weeks ago. That's who He is. He's our daddy. There should be a close relationship with Him and a child. And we have now exchanged that to a debt holder and us as the debtors. We have shifted the nature of that relationship. It happened in my life. Something that I did not anticipate, did not desire. Somebody I knew well came and asked for a loan of a certain amount of money. I thought, all right, if you need it, here, take it. Didn't expect it. I mean, I think I understood later why the Bible gives us a warning of not being a borrower or a lender at times, because suddenly, this guy started looking at me very differently. I didn't think I was acting any different. I wasn't, again, holding this thing over him. But the nature of our relationship changed. From two brothers serving the Lord together to a debt holder and a debtor. And it grieved me, and I didn't know how to go back and change things back to the way they were before, because now this was a part of our relationship. And I said, I don't care about that. Boy, it didn't matter to him that I didn't care about it. He did. And it was weighing on him. We do that with God when we change the exchange and think that, all right, Jesus did die on the cross, and now I'm indebted to God, and now I need to just keep on this kind of gerbil wheel and keep doing enough to pay God back for what He has done for me. We can never pay God back for what He's done for us. And if we look at Him in that way as a debt holder and we're the debtors who are attempting to pay back our debt, we aren't living in freedom. We're not living in the identity of who God has declared us to be in sending Jesus to die for us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We should not be burdening ourselves or other people. We burden ourselves when we internalize this within our own lives. We burden other people when we do what these Judaizers did and we start sharing with other people, hey, this is what you need to do too. We're taking away the freedom of people in Christ and we're adding burdens on to them instead. So how do we break free from this in Christ? How do we stay free as we walk? We do that by faith. By faith we are set free, and by faith we walk through what God has given to us in the journey of faith. He does not want us to be bound up in sin. He doesn't want us to be bound up in regret. He desires us to be truly free by faith in who He is and what He has done. When we do that, we celebrate Jesus and His finished work. As God tells us again in His Word here, verses 5 and 6, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." It is faith that is emphasized two times in those two verses that God wants us to see. That's how we are free. Similar to this, when we had the kids were much younger, I heard this story told, and I remember actually learning this song from Joan Woodruff here at, I believe, the preschool, where you are having a group of kids, they're playing, suddenly it's a mess, and maybe some of you have heard that song that begins to get sung, clean up, everybody, everywhere. Clean up, everybody, do your share. So we began to sing this, and at our house we would do this when the kids were younger, but it wasn't us telling them, hey, clean up your mess. We would get down with them and begin to clean up together. And as you're doing it together, suddenly they realize there's no burden in this. This is actually, there's enjoyment that I can have in doing something that otherwise, if I was just commanding them to do it, well, there's automatically kind of a rebellion that comes up from within us when we're commanded to do something and it's a burden for us. But when we see that Christ has finished the work that's necessary for our salvation, He has come down with us, has experienced this life with us, endured the cross, suffering the shame of the cross, so that we can be free. It isn't that we're doing the things that we're doing now out of this burden. We're doing it because He's entered into it with us, and we can do it with joy. We can walk through what 1 Peter shared us. Even suffering can be walked through knowing that Christ is walking with us through that. So it's by faith, as we celebrate Jesus' finished work, He has joined us. He's done the work, and He's given us the power that we need to continue to walk in faith together. By looking at things in faith, as the last phrase tells us, only faith working through love, we're able to understand what love is, not only for ourselves again, but to be able to share that love supernaturally with other people. Again, he repeats this, and we'll see this a little later on in verse 13. He says, "For you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We are able by faith and through the freedom that we have in faith to know the love of God and to be able to share that love as we serve one another in that love. If we don't know that love and it's not a supernatural love that we have, our reason for loving is that we've got some kind of angle that we're working. There's some kind of benefit that we're expecting in return for the love that we're showing somebody else. But when it's a supernatural love, like Christ showed us, He didn't love us and die for us so that He could get something from us. He loved and died for us because it is who He is. It's what the Father had called Him to do. In reflection, then, I want us to ask ourselves the questions, have I truly believed and received the message of freedom in Christ? Have I truly understood that it is a message of freedom? The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of freedom. If you have not done that in your life, I would encourage you, particularly before we celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us, because it really means nothing to you unless you have received that message of freedom in Christ. Is our faith working through love in the lives of our family and our friends? Is that how we're living? Is it the freedom that we have in Christ and in faith and in love that we're serving our family and friends? And then do we celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ as we should? We think again of July the 4th, the great celebration that we have in our country. How often do we celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ? Every day should be like the 4th of July for us. If we truly understand the freedom that we have, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank You that we can find forgiveness only in Jesus. The blood that He shed for us was sufficient once and for all that we could be forgiven, that we could be justified before You, that we could be given, as we put our faith in Him, His righteousness. What an amazing truth that is. And so we remember today the sacrifice that was made for our salvation. And it is with joyful hearts that we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.